Kate, that there is some need in our life.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1. Before we begin, everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now as the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, the prophet Samuel has called all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel together to tell them, you wanted a man king, so God has chosen Saul to be a man king. He's of the tribe of Benjamin and the son of Kish. Now, most of the people are happy, but a few are not happy. Saul is not yet crowned king, so he goes back to Father Kish and he takes care of their donkeys. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, how to pass that test before your destiny. How to pass that test before your destiny. Every human being has a destiny, but there's always a doggone test just before it. But we're going to get the victory.
Amen.
Verse 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead.
Nahash in the Hebrew means serpent. Now, most of you know Revelation 12 says one of the devil's name is serpent. Let me tell you, God has a destiny for you, but the devil, that old serpent, is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy your destiny. He's going to do things to keep you from filling that destiny. Jabesh Gilead, they were Israelites. They were the nation of Israel, and they lived on the east side of Jordan. For homework, you'll want to read Judges 21 and Judges 20. In Judges 21, you'll find that a lot of the fighting men of Jabesh Gilead were exterminated earlier, but a lot of them still alive. Why? Judges 20, when the Benjamin men raped and sexually abused a Levite's concubine all night long and she died, the whole 11 tribes were so abhorred by this, they said, we're going to go after Benjamin and get him. And they went after Benjamin, but they wanted everybody to come and fight. But the men of Jabesh Gilead would not fight. Now Jabesh Gilead is under attack. Wonder if the 12 tribes are going to help them.
And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash,
okay, they're going to say to the serpent,
make a covenant with us and we will serve thee.
Let's don't have a bloody battle here. Make some kind of a contract. We will serve you. See, the men of Jabesh-Gilead knew that when they needed to help the tribes, they did not go to war. They don't really think the 12 tribes are going to help them.
Verse 2. Then Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you.
Okay, if you'll do this, I won't be so hard on you.
That I may thrust out all your right eyes. I lay it for reproach upon all Israel.
Ouch. Archers use their right eye to target and win battles. Nahash says, I'm going to cut out all your right eyes, and you will never again be able to rebel against me, and you'll be my slaves forever. It's kind of like the government, you know, Obama, Joe Biden. Yeah. They say, we're going to take away your weapons, your little deplorables there, and we're going to control you forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing new under the sun.
Amen. Verse 3. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite.
Give us a respite of 7 days to talk this over.
That we may send messages to all the coast of Israel. And if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee.
See, they don't think the tribes are going to help them. Now, normally, Nahash would not let them have 7 days, but he knows the story too. He also thinks that the nation of Israel is not going to help them.
Verse 4. Then came the messengers of Gibeah to Saul.
Now Saul had gone back to his home in Gibeah. Now he's not king yet, but they want to let him know because he's going to be the next king.
And told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept.
Now, when the enemy comes against you to thwart your destiny, cry if you must, but pray and fight.
Verse 5. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field.
He was back there taking care of those donkeys. This shows something beautiful about Saul. He was very humble. I mean, he could have said, look, I'm going to be the next king. You people make me some great apparel here. Put some gold on my throne. Get the beautiful maidens to sing and dance. No. He goes back home and takes care of the donkeys. As soon as you know your destiny, stay humble. Keep on cleaning the church toilet. Keep on mopping the floors. Keep on washing the windows. Keep on with that. But also show something else he did that you should do. As soon as you know your destiny, before you take that first step, go off quietly in your prayer place and ask the Lord, what is the first step for me to do? Get directions. Psalm 32:8, God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And let him tell you what to do. Now, this does not mean that you're disobeying. You're not delaying. You're humble, and you ask God, what is the first step for my destiny? Everybody has a destiny.
And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep?
This shows compassion. I begin to like this guy.
And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh.
Uh-oh. He's just heard the bad news. Now, as soon as you are being promoted to your destiny, it's time for you to get into it. The devil is going to send something to distract you. The distraction was COVID. Look at what he did to the churches. Look at what he did to business people. Some people were ready to move their destiny, and now you're trying to keep your head above water. Don't let that distraction deter you.
Verse 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings.
Now don't forget, he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As soon as you realize there's a distraction, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be filled, be filled, be filled. For Jesus says you shall receive power. after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You're going to need power to take over the devil's attacks and get into your destiny. This is not the time for you to say, oh, no, all over here.
And his anger was kindled greatly.
This is so good. Righteous indignation, when under control, is a tremendous strength. A lot of people just roll over and they don't know what to do. Righteous indignation, when controlled, gives you strength, gives you power. You got the fight in your belly.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 says, be angry and sin not. You don't kill anybody, but you got the fight in you. Jesus had that. In John chapter 2, he went into the temple to check out things there, and he saw the religious leaders were taking making a profit off the people, selling all kind of mite-infested doves for money. Jesus got so upset, he turned the tables over, made a cat of nine tails, and drove them out of there. When you got fight in your belly, you're not going to lose. That gives you power. But remember, Ephesians 4, be angry, but sin not. Don't kill anybody.
Verse 7, and he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel.
A yoke of oxen would be two oxen. He cuts them in pieces and sends them to all the people of Israel. A visual aid. You know where he got that is in Judges 20. When the Levites saw that the men of Benjamin had raped his concubine and killed her, he took her dead body and he cut her body into pieces and sent a part of her body to all of the other 11 tribes of Israel and said, let's go to war against Benjamin.
By the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel.
He was aligning himself up with a man of God. Always align yourself up with a person of God.
So shall it be done unto his oxen.
He's kind of taking a little authority here. In other words, everybody, you better come. I'm going to be the king. You don't want your oxen cut up.
And the fear of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out with one consent.
Be encouraged to know this. Though all the gates of hell come against your destiny, God has already assigned a few people who are also assigned to your assignment. God has people assigned to work with you in your assignment. And be encouraged them. Basically, what he did here, he sent out a message to the nation to pray. What you do when you realize what's going on, send out a prayer request, not to the whole body of Christ, because a lot of them don't know how to pray, and they just say words. Find the prayer warriors and ask them to pray. And know that God's got people stationed to assist you in that destiny. That is their destiny. That is their assignment.
Amen.
Verse 8. And when he numbered them in Bezek.
Okay, check it out to see how many people are here.
The children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah, 30,000.
Now, at this time, the tribes were not yet divided. Later on, they would. After David's grandson, Rehoboam, took the throne, they would be 10 tribes of Israel and 2 tribes of Judah. But you can see right now that there's a bit of division. You need to know that while your destiny is in the body of Christ, you need to understand that the body of Christ is divided. Paul says, have no schisms. Schisms there means have no divisions, have no denominations. Look what we've got. Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, all kinds of divisions. Understand that. Don't let that discourage you.
Amen.
The body of Christ is going to get together. Jesus prayed that in John 17,
Amen.
That
Amen.
They may be one.
Verse 9. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead.
This is what you tell them.
Tomorrow, by the time that sun shall be hot, ye shall have help.
Now, as soon as you're about ready to step in your divine destiny, something's going to happen. There's going to be someone else in the body of Christ, also with a destiny. And suddenly, you're going to put yours on the shelf. You're going to pray for that person. I don't mean dead prayers. I mean days and weeks and months and years of prayer. You're going to fast for that person. Fast, fast, fast. Pray, pray, pray. You're going to sow seeds to get their destiny done. And it'll look like you've already not going to be able to get your destiny. The beautiful thing is this has to happen. Because Jesus says you have to love others as he loves. That word there is in the Greek agape. That means that you will sacrifice for them. No greater love of this than a man lay down his life for his friend. For that person, you will pray and pray and pray. You'll fast and fast and fast. You'll sow seeds of faith into them. You won't give up until they reach their destiny. This is so good because God says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. But you're not thinking about that. You are there to hold that person up. You're not giving up until they get into their destiny, because you know the devil's trying to stop them too.
And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad.
I mean, they were glad. Wow, they're going to help us. I mean, help us on the way. Now, understand, in your divine destiny, a lot of time, you're going to be very much alone. People don't understand your destiny. Sadly, most of the body of Christ is so busy trying to keep the head above water or just survive this life. Very few Christians are big enough to see and devote their life to the destiny. Remember, we're one body. It's not individual, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. You will often feel alone, and you'll be so surprised when anybody comes and says, I'm with you. Well, they will be.
Verse 10, wherefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you.
Now they're talking to Nahash, the serpent, okay? We're coming tomorrow.
And you should do with us all that seemeth good.
Look at that. I mean, they could have said, hey, Nahash, all 12 tribes are going to cover our back, so you're not going to cut out our eyes. They did a very wise thing. It's sort of like covert activity. When the enemy's got you surrounded, play dead. And maybe you'll survive. As soon as you realize that you're about to step in your destiny, do not tell everybody. Again, there's never going to be anybody totally to understand unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to him, and he does. Understand that girlfriend you go out to dinner with, lunch with him, will she understand? No. That guy? No. While Satan is not omnipresent, he's not everywhere at every time like God is, he has an army. He's got generals. He's got majors. He's got little imps there that sit on people's shoulders. And he sends them out to assign to hear what you're going to do. Don't let the devil know what you're up to. Keep it quiet between you and God. And if there's one person you could tell it to them. Be very careful. Most of you mess up your destiny because you tell everybody you know and what's going on, and the devil just beats you up.
Unto you. Verse 11. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies.
What a beautiful thing. Three is always a symbol of God, the Trinity. God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach. Before you start that final battle, before you move in your destiny, Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Don't you dare, don't you dare even think you can win the battle without God.
Amen.
And also, three companies. If you're very blessed, you might have three people who have said, I'm assigned to your assignment. You might not. If you've only got one, you'll have to kind of change this a little bit. If you've got just a few people, this group, you say, okay, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit for the assignment God has given to you. Pray, pray, pray. To this one, you say, okay, you fast from food. That is a food fast. It's power and fasting. I wish y'all knew that. Most of you don't do that. Your God's in your belly. Food fasting is a weapon in your arsenal. This group here, you fast for this assignment. Fast, fast, fast. This group over here, you confess the word of God about this assignment out loud. Death and life is the power of the tongue.
Amen.
If you only got one person to do it, tell them to pray, tell them to fast, and tell them to confess. Three groups.
They came into the midst of the host in the morning watch.
The morning watch. You know where that is? This is between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. every morning. If you're really going to achieve your destiny, you're going to have to get up early. Heaven listens from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. The demons even kind of take a break. And God knows his elect. And he wakes you up between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. Don't go back to sleep. You're going to lose some sleep, but it's worth it. It's not just you praying to him, although you do. Holy Spirit is sitting on your bed, ready to give you direction. Holy Rock Elohim, what will thou have me to do today? Guide me today. That time is a strengthening time that you'll never get the rest of the day. Because the rest of the day, somebody's going to interrupt and you don't have time and you're busy working, okay? That's an early morning watch. You will never achieve your destiny unless you are a powerful prayer person. Prayer changes things. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Remember that Jesus says he's the vine and you're the branch. And if you abide in him, you'll bear much fruit. If you ever realized how much fruit is being born by hours of intercessory prayer, you would even pray some more.
Amen.
Most of you say, I don't bear fruit. That's because you don't know how to pray. You got to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for hours. Let your life be a prayer. In other words, it's not so much time as you stay in that mode. If you knew how much fruit is born when you really pray in the Spirit, boy, are you bearing fruit.
Amen.
More good is done in the body of Christ to one person praying alone by themselves in the Spirit than all the other work.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day.
If the kitchen's too hot, you better get out. God is a consuming fire. I mean, he beat them up at noontime.
And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together.
As you move into your destiny, God's got you back. He will scatter the enemy in all directions. In seven directions, they will run from you. What about the two? The Bible says, unless two be agreed, they are have no power. Two is better than one. God will so scatter them that they can't even get together and agree in some kind of a tactic against you. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
They run before you in seven directions. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Confusion in the camp. Christian? We have the victory.
Amen.
If we'll just
yes.
do the word and obey it.
Amen.
Verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us?
Now back in 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel told the people that God had chosen Saul, most of the tribes said, great, we're happy. But there were some that did not. They were the sons of Belial. They said, you're not going to be our king. We're not even going to give you a gift. We're not going to your coronation. No, Destiny people, that not everybody in the body of Christ is going to think you're called of God. They will call you a false prophet. They will say, I'm not going to listen to you. Shut that thing off. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to her. Well, join the crowd. Not everybody believed Jesus was the Savior.
Amen.
Bring them in that we may put them to death.
Good Lord. At least he's got some loyal people here. Put them to death. Of course, you're not going to put them to death. Those people who don't understand, we're not called to have people to understand us. It's a lonely walk, and yet we have millions of people. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew God's hand was on you, and you were doing what God told you, they would never do that. So forgive them. They don't know what they do.
Verse 13. And Saul said, there shall not be man put to death this day.
Isn't he rising up to the plate? Oh, boy, don't you love him? Not one person. In other words, you don't get even. You just forgive them, and you go forth with God's work. You pray for them, actually.
For today, the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel.
What you do, you give God glory. As soon as the enemy is defeated, as soon as you're ready now to step in your destiny, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Great
Amen.
Things
Amen.
He hath done.
Amen.
Verse 4.
Notice Saul didn't take any credit for that.
King, then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there.
Let's go praise the Lord and worship and build an altar there. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt from slavery, went through the promised land, they crossed over Jordan, and the first place that they built an altar of worship was a place called Gilgal. They worshiped them. Now what you do, finally, at last, you're ready for your destiny. Call those three. It might be five in this three, how many it is. Call those who stood with you. Build an altar. Get on your knees. And you just give thanks and praise the Lord. Put him first right then. Give him all of the glory. Worship the Lord with those who stood with you.
Verse 15. And all the people went to Gilgal and made Saul the king.
He is now crowned King Saul, the first man king of the nation of Israel.
Before the Lord in Gilgal.
And they did this before God.
And then they sacrifices of peace offerings.
Thanksgiving offerings, they gave an offering. What I do, I am a generous giver. I always tithe, add a vow, and give an offering on a perpetual basis of everything. But I also, when something special, I give an extra offering to the Lord. In other words, he just deserves something,
Amen.
You know.
Unto the Lord, and their soul and all Israel rejoiced greatly.
Saul has now moved into his destiny. He's the first man king of Israel. Saul did not choose his destiny. God chose his destiny. You have a destiny. Most of you try to choose it. I want to be this, I want to be that. No. God has chosen your destiny. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Chosen from before the foundation of the world. God bless each one of you. It's time for the body of Christ to move into our destiny and be the triumphant church of Jesus Christ to show forth his name, his cross, his blood, his word to this world.
Amen.
For we are people of destiny. We are the church triumphant
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray
Amen.
You.
Amen.
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 Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a fitting message for the beginning of the year.
Absolutely. Amen. You're about ready for your destiny.
Yeah,
I've been beating the devil up for you. Okay. Well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms 23:3.
Absolutely. He'll lead you every step of the way if you will obey into your destiny. Thank you, Scott. Great Scott.
Thank you.
Before I pray for healing, anybody in here or out in cyberspace who's not saved, let's get you saved. Jesus is coming again. The Antichrist is about to come. It's time to get your act right with God. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord and my Savior.
That Jesus is my Lord and my Savior.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Death and life are the power of the tongue. Words have power. You need to tell people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. That is my voicemail there. Feel free to call that number. I invite you. I want you to call that number. Tell me your confession. And when I get the message, I will pray for you and God bless you. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. Now, for all new Christians, get yourself a King James Bible, Old Testament and New. The reason I use King James is the only version that I can trace almost every word in there back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldee. And you don't want any errors. Then, you may now pray. You don't have to call him God. He's your Father. Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the password by the Holy Spirit. So you want to pray every day. Get your place of prayer in your home. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. And go to church every time the door opens. Find a church that teaches God's word, book, chapter, verse, and line, and go to on Sunday, or if Saturday is your Sabbath, and go the midweek because you're commanded to learn to pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, come on Wednesday, and we'll help you learn how to pray. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Go every time the church doors open, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, and be faithful to him. And God bless you, and welcome to the body of Christ. Here is my email, shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. By the way, you may email me your praise reports. You may email me questions you want me to answer on the mystery moment. Email me your prayer requests, your praise reports, your questions, your confessions, just anything you want to ask me there. And now, I'm going to pray for the sick. I feel led to pray for joint pain, but it's in different areas. Someone has tremendous joint pain in their forearm, kind of right by the wrist there. And that leads up to joint pain in your thumb. The thumb, the bottom of the thumb on the outside of the thumb. As someone who has joint pain in the back of the neck, kind of the brainstem area there. Someone's got joint pain in the right shoulder, joint pain in the left shoulder. Someone's got tremendous joint pain in the lower back, near the sciatica nerve there. Someone's got joint pain in the thighs, left and right, in the knees, and in the legs. Now, God's word says, God's word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It goes between the joints and the marrow. So in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Hush, O Lekka, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in his wings. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteous, arise. Let that pain in the thumb there be gone. Pain in the wrist be gone. Pain in the right shoulder be gone in Jesus' name. Pain in the left shoulder be gone in Jesus' name. The neck pain be gone in Jesus' name. The spine, lower spine, sciatica nerve be gone in Jesus' name. Hips, left thigh, right thigh be gone in Jesus' name. Thighs, knees be gone. Toes and feet in the name of Jesus. Mobility, mobility, lubricated by the oil of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, oil. You are healed. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Jesus bore your pains and carried your sorrows. Receive and believe. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock, but your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man laid out his life for his friend. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you, too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together all over the world. Hello there, friends. As the family of God, you hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
of Truth. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
God, you're the one we need, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
I haven't been able to find a way to articulate what I'm seeing since you took the blindfold off of my eyes. It's been a little bit painful working through, confronting my issues, but I'm finding freedom in letting go. 'Cause you've been laying a foundation of truth and grace, and my life is changing. So thankful that I'm not defined by my human side. No, I found my identity in the one who holds my destiny. 'Cause you've been laying a foundation of truth and grace, and my life is changing. We see your glory.
tonight, Lord.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Oneness has to do with unity of purpose. Oneness has to do with differences headed toward the same goal line, being on the same page spiritually.
Dr. Tony Evans explains that oneness is also the evidence that backs up our witness.
Jesus said, until oneness shows up, the world will not see how real I am.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Unity among believers was one of Jesus' final prayer requests before his death on the cross.
Today, Dr. Evans explains how we can see that prayer answered in our lifetime. Let's join him as he takes a look at what it means to really embrace oneness.
The scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, is a worship service. Everything is leading up to Solomon's celebration of the dedication of the temple. The temple is the Old Testament house of worship. It was where the centerpiece of the nation existed. It was the divine hangout, if you will. When they were preparing to gather to worship and to celebrate, there, with a careful reading, you will notice something. What you will notice is the emphasis on unity in their worship. He says, even though there were a lot of people gathered together, all the priests, verse 11, they gathered without regard to divisions. The priesthood was divided into 24 divisions. So depending upon what group you were a part of, you were assigned a time to perform your priestly duties. And you would be one of 24. You would be in a group that was made up of other priests, and the total number of groups were 24. So you could argue, I'm part of this group, or this group, or this group, or this group, or this group. This is my time to serve, my time to serve, my time to serve, my time to serve. But it says on this day, when they came together to worship God, they did so without regard to which group they were a part of. In other words, whichever group of 24 you were a part of became irrelevant on this day, when God was the centerpiece. Perhaps we would say today which ministry you are a part of, which place where you serve, because the divisions had to do with service. It says they gathered without regard to their ministry connection. In other words, whichever silo you were a part of became irrelevant on this day, because they gathered together without regard for their division. If you will notice closely, you will see in verse 13, in unison,